Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Alkylamines Chemicals Limited Q4 FY 2023-24 earnings conference call hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jaiveer Shekhawat from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Darwin. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Ambit Capital, I welcome you all to Alkylamines 4Q FY24 and FY24 earnings conference call. From the management side, we have Mr. Kirat Patel, the Executive Director, Ms. Kanchan Shinde, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Udit Agarwal, Chief Commercial Officer, and Mr. Chintamani Thatte, General Manager, Legal and Company Secretary. Without further ado, I would now request Mr. Kirat Patel to start with his opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for question and answer. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Jaiveer. Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you. Welcome to our call, and thank you for joining in to our annual review of our performance. So let me begin by giving a few opening remarks about the year that has just gone by, and then we will open the conference for questions. So the year has been a little mixed for us, a bit disappointing in the sense that we were expecting it to be much better. But there are some silver linings on the cloud that the market demand for pharma is quite stable now and growing. And we have managed to increase our sales in terms of tonnage. However, because of price drops due to competition from the Chinese and some internal, the top line has, as you can see, has reduced. Fortunately, the raw material prices have also dropped, and margins in the last quarter are slightly better than the previous quarter. The second half has been a little weaker than the first half, but looking forward, we feel that next year is likely to be better than what we have seen in the last year. On the capital expenditure side, I am happy to let you know that the ethylamines plant, which we had been constructing over the last 2.5 years, has been commissioned and has been running very well, to much better than our expectations. And it is now probably the largest ethylamines plant in the world. And this takes care of our need for capacity of ethylamines for a foreseeable future. And with that, I think I will conclude my opening remarks and hand over the floor for questions. Please go ahead and ask whatever you may need to ask. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nilesh Ghuge from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Kirat sir. I am.
Good afternoon.
Am I audible?
Yes, yes. Right, yes.
So, sir, my first question is on CapEx. As you mentioned that you commissioned these ethylamine plants during this fiscal. So can you just tell us how much total CapEx we incurred in FY24? And then it is, can you give us the project-wise breakup for that?
Okay, so the ethylamines project, which was the largest project which we had, finally was capitalized at about 375 crores. It is 120 tons per day. However, since we had spent a lot of the money in the previous 2 years, this year our total capital expenditure is about 120 crores. In that 120 crores is also some expenditure for routine maintenance capex and the solar plant to supply electricity to our Dahej facility. So this year, FY24, the capex was about 120 crores.
120 crore, okay. And
but the capitalization was more because the ethylamines plant was a very large plant.
Yes. So capitalization, I can see that is about close to 500 crore in this fiscal.
400 crores approximately.
400 crore, okay. Chika. And second thing on the utilization. See, can you tell us the utilization of acetonitrile plant in this fiscal? Because in our earlier communication that you mentioned that first half, the utilization was close to 60-65%. So I just want to get this sense how it was in second half of FY24.
Okay, the second half was not as good as the first half because the Chinese pressure continued in terms of price and aggressive selling in the Indian market. So we were at about half our capacity, 55%, so a little better than half. And we are facing competition, both domestic. Domestic is very small, but largely the Chinese, you know.
Okay. Hmm? And the pricing is also under pressure? Or it is, it was meant?
It has in the last quarter stabilized.
Okay, okay, okay.
Of course, it is difficult to say whether we have hit the bottom or not, but
yes.
I hope that is true, that this is as low as it will go, you know.
Okay, okay.
The problem with this price, well, the problem with this price is, we are of course fortunate because we are one of the first movers, so our productivity on acetonitrile and our cost structure is probably lower than the newer people who have come in. And this would be a bit difficult price for the newer entrants. So that's why I think we don't see too much activity from the our domestic competition and mostly from the Chinese.
Okay. 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 And sir, just on the ethylamine side, so you recently commissioned this plant and you mentioned that plant utilization is going, it's sufficient, utilization is ramped up. And but you did mention that there was also pressure on the ethylamine side in our last communication. So how are the prices on that side and what was the utilization of your ethylamine plant? Including new capacity.
Okay, so this is a bit mixed because we were using the old plant till about October, November, and the new plant also overlapped with it. So the old plant was obviously, the first half was almost fully utilized. The second half, it's been largely the new plant, and that utilization is maybe at about 60%. Of this thing, which is of course more than the old plant could deliver, but still we have headroom in the new plant.
Okay. So, but
as far as pricing is concerned, yes, it has improved on both the selling side as well as the raw material side. The ethyl alcohol has softened compared to what it was, say, 6 months, 1 year ago.
Okay, okay. Okay, thanks, sir. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirav Yamudia from Anvil Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity. So I have two, three questions. So one is on the volume growth for FY24. So I think in the first half we were at around 14-15% volume growth. So if you can just let us know what was the volume growth for FY24.
Yeah, so the total volume growth for the whole year is under 10%. The second half was much, it was disappointing, largely under pressure from acetonitrile, as I said earlier to Nilesh, and also monoisopropyl, also we are facing Chinese competition. However, we have been able to compensate that with the few of the other downstream products of methylamine. So, on balance, we have a little less than 10% growth. Less than 10%. We were disappointed in that because we were expecting it to be more than 10%, given that the first half was so strong.
Correct. So, in absolute amount, the volumes could be closer to 1 lakh tons for FY24?
Nearly there. Yeah. It's just short of that.
Correct. Sir, if you can just walk us through the demand outlook for methylamines, like at what levels of capacity we are at currently, are we planning any expansions there also? And along with it, if you can just let us know the demand drivers for methylamines, particularly in context of the derivatives.
You're talking about methyl, right?
Methylamines.
Methyl, okay. I'll just hand it over to Udit, my colleague, who is the Chief Commercial Officer, who can give you a background on the methyl.
So thank you for the question. As you know, that the methylamines and methylamines derivatives have different application areas, and the growth rates are different for those. For example, one of the derivatives, which is largely dependent on the personal care related products, that has a different dynamics versus the other derivative, which is largely on the pharma anti-diabetic segment, and that is a different growth trajectory. So it's a different things at both the derivative end. The base methylamines are growing at their normal historical growth rate of low single digits. I would say primarily because these products find application in the agrochemical industry, and agrochemical industry, as we all know, is the kind of pain which it had in the recent past. Yeah. So this is where we are at this moment, but I would say that the derivatives are growing a little faster than the base methylamines.
Got it. So, sir, here you mentioned about the pharma. Predominantly, you are talking about DMHCL. So if you can let us know, like, how is the market size both for the base methylamines as well as the derivatives of methylamines, and how much of the methylamines we are currently using captively for our derivatives, and how much we are probably selling in the market at this point of time?
We are using about 30% of our methylamines captively, and about 60% is sold.
Sorry, if you can just repeat, I lost in between, sir.
Yeah, so it's 30% of our production is self-consumed in methylamines.
Yeah.
And about 60% is sold merchant, you know.
Okay. And the old ethylamine plant which we were having, so any plan of converting into methylamines, or that would be kept separately as a ethylamine plant only?
No, we are having plans to convert it into methylamines. So the engineering has just started. So it would take a little time to convert it. But we are preparing for 2 years down the line when the demand has grown to a level where we will need it. As you know, we already have Patalganga as a standby to Dahej. Patalganga, the second plant, the old second plant,
yeah,
the ethylamines plant, and that we bring online whenever there is a demand peak, when it happens in a few months, you know, or some particular homologue of the methyl between mono, di, and tri is in short supply, and we have to bring it on.
Correct. And sir, is it possible to share the current market size of methylamines in India, and at what level of capacities we are currently on?
So market price, you said?
No, market size. So market size of methylamines in India, and what level of capacities we are at currently?
Well, market size would be about 70,000 tons, I think, or 75,000 tons of production, because both Balaji, us, and RCF all self-consume some of their production.
Correct.
So maybe about 70,000-75,000. We are at about almost 85% capacity utilization of the Dahej plant, which, as you know, is about 45,000 tons a year.
Correct, correct. And the standby plant, what you mentioned, would have a capacity of how much whenever we would...
Patalganga?
Yeah, yeah, Patalganga, sir.
That's about, the old plant is about 15,000 tons.
Got it, sir.
But it is also used for ethylamines as a standby, you know?
Correct, correct. Got it, got it. Sir, next question is on the contribution margin. So, let's say if we exclude acetonitrile, which had a good year in FY21 and because of which our profitability was better, let's say if we compare FY21 and now FY24, for rest of the products, X of acetonitrile, let's say the methyl and ethylamines chain along with the derivatives, has the contribution margins per kg had an impact in between these years, or they were well taken care of through the price increases or the introduction of new products in that methyl and ethyl chains, because of which those margins were protected? If you just can help us understand that, that would be helpful.
Okay, so if you ignore the volatility in the acetonitrile business,
yeah,
and other business, between the products there has been a little bit of up and down in the margins. The methyl chain has done well. The margins have done well.
Okay.
The ethyl went through a little bit of a rough time 1 year ago and has stabilized and improved now. And we hope to get back to the old levels of margins in the ethylamine change. Of course, MIPA has been last year been a bit of a disappointment because, as you know, our anti-dumping duty expired a year ago.
Yeah.
And they did not renew it. And the Chinese have again become active, and so we've had price pressures in isopropylamine, and we have lost market share there.
Correct, correct. So, sir, safe to conclude that probably as compared to FY21, methylamine margins in per kg basis would have improved. Ethylamines is still lagging, but you are expecting FY25 to... For ethylamines also, the margins per kg should be back to the levels of FY21, and that should overall help us to improve our contribution margins per kg.
Yes, I would say you're right, except to, I will correct you, that the ethylamines margins have already improved. We are
okay.
Not, it's already in the last quarter we have seen the signs now.
Correct, correct. So last question, if you allow me, and before I join back...
Sorry to interrupt. This is Udip Agrawal here. Just to add to that, year 21-22 was also the special years of the COVID times, yeah?
Yeah, correct.
If we look at the ethylamine or these products margin over the last 10 years or so and think about the margin situation current, I think that's a better way of looking at it, right?
Correct, correct. Sir,
go ahead with your next question.
Yeah. Sir, any new products are we planning to introduce in the on the specialty side or on the derivative sides of methyl and ethyl? Because after acetonitrile, I think such a meaningful contributor to the top line level products have not been introduced by us. So are we planning any newer products both on the ethyl or methylamine chain as well as on the specialty side, which could meaningfully help us in growing our volumes, turnover, as well as the margins?
Okay, we have a couple of products under engineering. In fact, one almost close to finishing the engineering, and we have to take a decision shortly. And these two products are not actually derivatives or part of the amine, current amine portfolio or anything linked with that. Of course, there is also, as I said, a capex due for revamping the old ethyl plant to make it into methyl.
Yeah.
But all these will happen over the next couple of years. You know, decisions will be taken in the next 3 to 6 months on proceeding, because currently the market situation seems to be very volatile with the Chinese active so much that, you know, one hesitates to put capex in the ground and then find that the Chinese have undercut you all over the world.
Correct, correct, correct.
So we are being a little careful on that, but we have proceeding with all the soft part of the engineering permissions, getting everything in place. So when the decision is made, we can implement quickly.
Correct. And so lastly, any volume growth guidance which you can give for FY25?
Well, we are always, you know, we have always been optimistic and we have always feel that 10 to 15% growth rate has been our norm. There have been a few years like last year where we have dropped below that. But otherwise, 10% is, I think, what we expect, 10 to 15% definitely may happen. Part of it may be because we are still to ramp up the diethyl ketone
DEK plant.
We have not been able to actually exploit that product fully, but we hope that next year will be better for us and will be, and that will contribute to some extent to the 1 or 2% of that growth rate will be just diethyl ketone from a very low base adding to volume.
What was the utilization rate in FY24 for DEK, sir?
Oh, very poor. I think it was maybe 20%, 30%.
So roughly 1,000 tons.
Yeah, less than that, I think.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Wish you all the best and I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jaiveer Shekhawat from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Sure. Thanks for taking my question. Kirat, the first question is on the anti-dumping duty investigation that has been going on acetonitrile. So basically, the evidence that you have provided to the department, one, what has been the extent of dumping or the injury that has been suffered by you because of the dumping? And second, if the order is passed favorably, what kind of volume or margin benefit do you expect?
Hello, Kanchan here. So we have filed anti-dumping in December, and in March 24, the investigation has been initiated. Okay, hearings are going on right now, and we are planning for filing interim relief also in that. Okay, and but it will take time. Maybe in Q4 of 24-25, we expect that to come if it is favorable in, on our side.
Extent of injury.
Injury is in the range of 15 to 20%.
Sure. And so if I were to compare your FY24 revenues with pre-COVID, say FY20 revenues, your revenues have increased by roughly 50%, whereas your EBITDA is largely flat. So one, if you could help us understand this 50% growth in revenues, how do you break that into volume growth and realization growth? And secondly, if your realization were to remain wherever they are as of now, when do you think you can reach back to the 25% EBITDA margin level that you had also guided earlier in the calls?
Okay. So, last year our average selling price dropped by almost 20%. Though there was a volume increase, our top line dropped by about 14% and the average pricing dropped by about 20%. So, given that the margins obviously have come down per kg. Looking forward to it, I don't think the margins will ever go back to the 2021 levels because those were exceptional years. But our average before that, so we expect that the next year we will get back to the average margins and will make up to the level which we were the year before by sheer volume increase. We are growing in terms of volume and that is adding to the bottom line.
Sure. Because, so if I see pre-COVID, I think prior to FY20, possibly you're doing 18-19 EBITDA margins, which possibly you might be in a position to do in a couple of quarters. Was FY20 also impacted because of COVID by any chance? Because we still had a March lockdown that happened. Or was it still a normal level of margin that you would expect going forward?
FY20?
Yeah, that was around 25-26% is EBITDA margin. Do you see that as a normal level of margin or was there aberration in that?
So that is on the higher side, 25%. Sure. The 20 to 22% is what has been our norm.
Sure.
And 18 has been low We have even gone down as much as 14 at one point, I think. But I would say that 20% EBITDA margin is what we hope to achieve between 20 and 22.
Sure. So next question is in terms of realizations. So analyzing your data as well as that of your competitor, we find that after like many quarters of sequential decline in realization, you've seen some increase on a sequential or a quarter-quarter basis. So one, what has led to that? And secondly, would you call that as an aberration or do you believe that realization can increase from here on?
I hope it is not an aberration. The main reason why the slide in the top line has dropped is because the prices have stabilized. Volumes have been growing little by little. So because the prices have stabilized, the Q3 and Q4 numbers are looking on the top line a little better than Q3. And I hope going forward this trend continues. But I think we have seen the bottom of the prices, and on both on the finished goods and on the raw material side. Maybe raw material side still there is a little bit of softening could happen in a, say, acetic acid or ethyl alcohol, but I think they are near the bottom. So I think these margins are what you could predict would happen next year.
And so what gives you the insight or the foresight to possibly comment that it could be the bottom? And secondly, has there been a change in the industry dynamics over the last couple of months or quarters which has led to this improvement in realization? And what has really led to the improvement?
Well, I think the improvement is only that it has not improved. It has stabilized. That means if the price was, say, 150, and it had dropped from 200 to 150, it stopped dropping and remained at 150, while volumes kept creeping up. So it's stuck at about that levels of prices have remained stable for some time. So that gives us hope that perhaps we've reached a stable point equivalent in the industry based on what the Chinese are doing. Because the Chinese were the ones who upset the whole apple cart. And they seem to be now at this price over the last few months, you know.
Sure.
And if they, of course, back out, then prices will go up. But if they again become more aggressive, then it's a separate story.
Sure.
It's a little worry that the yuan is weakening.
Mm-hmm. So last question to Kanchan, possibly. Kanchan, if you could explain the quarter-on-quarter increase in your other expenses.
Quarter-on-quarter increase. So mainly...
So there's roughly about a 15 odd crores increase that has happened in other expenses. If you could just call off that.
Yeah, nothing much. So mainly CSR expenses, which we could not spend, we had to make provision for that. And there was an asset at Patalganga, which was not being used, so we had to impair that. And since there is increase in production, the power and fuel expenses have increased. So nothing exceptional other than this.
Perfect. Sure. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Rupani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I had a question on methylamines. Sir, our competitor has a 48,000 ton plant and they are commissioning a new 40,000 tons plant in December 24. And right now, you have told that 60% of our methylamine is sold in the market. So what will be the impact on the prices of methylamine and our production?
Okay, I think we have been expecting expansion on Balaji's methylamine capacity. He has actually two plants, 30,000 and 15,000. That's how he's at 48,000. And now he's putting up one plant which is 40,000. So obviously he will shut down one of the older plants, which is probably less efficient. And there is a tightness for him and some other of one of the homologs, which is dimethylamine. Most of dimethylamine, as far as Balaji is concerned, goes into DMF, which is his own product. And DMA HCl. So I assume that he is expecting the DMF market to, which has unfortunately been very low, to improve, and therefore he will need more DMA. That is the kind of analysis that we have come to, that he is putting up new capacity in methylamines to support an increase in the DMF situation. Because between RCF, us and him, we have, there is enough capacity currently to supply the market, and barring few odd instances, there has not been any shortage of methylamines in the country.
Okay.
And
so
you know, also is a question that, you know, you planned something 2-3 years ago looking at some growth. When they come online, sometimes you are off by, you know, by a year or so. So perhaps it's maybe 1 year too early for him. Maybe that just happens, you know.
So you are saying that there would be no impact on the prices of methylamines and our production?
No, there will be. There will be an impact, because obviously he would like to use his plants fully, at least two of them, if not the three. And that would create some pressure on the methylamines merchant market.
Okay. And sir, I have a follow-up question. Do we have any intention of setting up DMF plant in the future?
We are always looking at, we have the technology, but we don't find it at the current pricing very exciting, you know. So the, and that's the reason I think why for the last year or two, both RCF and Balaji have been struggling with their DMF capacities.
Okay. So my next question
is from both the Chinese and the Saudis, you know.
Okay, sir. My next question was on ethylamine. So, in the con call, you have said that prices have improved for ethylamine, and we are operating at 60% capacity utilization in the second half. But what is the outlook going forward? What are the prices of ethylamine per kg, if you could let us know?
What would be the average price for 150, 160? Yeah, about 150 to 160, depending on mono, di, tri, you know. And going forward, I think ethyl is a very steady growth market. It grows by 5 to 7% every year. And our plant is now planned for the next 5 to 10 year kind of view, you know, so that we don't have to put up a new capacity for ethylamines again.
Okay, so our competitor has also have about 2,500 tons. So are we, exporting some ethylamines, or what is the domestic total demand for ethylamines?
So both of us are exporting small quantities of ethylamines and their derivatives. But largely it's domestic. Most of the ethylamines is largely domestic. And both of us are, as I said, we are at 60%. We estimate that his capacity utilization is also at in that region, 50 to 60%. But
okay,
of course, being a slightly smaller plant, its capacity utilization may be higher. But we have a larger market share.
Okay, thanks for the update. My next question was on ACN. Sir, we have been facing this pressure from the Chinese people since last 6-7 months, and we have filed for the anti-dumping duty. So when do you think this Chinese competition tapers off, and what if the anti-dumping duty does not come in our favor?
No, look, if the one is, when will the Chinese taper off? Nobody can say. I don't think anybody has a view on that. It's not just acetonitrile. It's across the board. They have too much capacity in most of their chemical industry. And in fact, we recently saw an announcement by one of their companies for a huge methylamines plant. Considering they already had a methylamines plant, that company, which was operating at 60%. So I have not understood the logic. And that company is making losses. So it's a very strange feature. So it's very difficult to predict when it will taper off. But we have noticed, if you go historically, at some point in time, maybe they last for a year, year and a half, and then they kind of ease off. So we have to survive and hold our heads above the water till then. And we are still making money in acetonitrile, not as much as we would like to, or we were making, but we are more than breaking even. So if it doesn't, the situation doesn't worsen, we will continue to attempt to grow our market share because the Indian market is growing. So that's the good news, you know. And we will continue to hold on to our market share and grow with it. Yes, if we get the anti-dumping duty, which may take, I don't know, about a year maybe from now, unless of course we get some interim kind of a relief, then the chances of our market share improving is much more.
Okay, and what are the current prices of ACN currently?
Acetonitrile?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
About 150 or so.
Okay, and my...
Larger people 145, for the smaller people 160, that kind, you know.
Okay, and what would be our capacity utilization this year?
About 55%. 55 to 60%.
Thank you. And
I'm talking about FY 23-24.
Going ahead, what will be the
going ahead? We are hoping to improve it to 60 to 65% because market is growing. So I'm assuming the same market share between Chinese and us, because anti-dumping duty, even if it comes, is not going to impact the next year unless we are very lucky.
Got it. Thanks for the update. And my next question was on the raw material side. What is the current prices of ammonia, acetic acid and methanol? Could you please guide us?
Hi, this is Udip Agrawal. Ammonia has been, as you know, is primarily driven by the fertilizer industry and what happens there. Currently, ammonia is about, depending on the location, in the range of 50 to 52 rupees per kg. Acetic acid has been fluctuating up and down, yeah, and it is a little shy of 40 at this moment. Yeah.
And methanol?
Methanol. Or ethanol?
Yes, sir. Methanol.
Methanol.
Methanol is sub 30 these days.
Just below 30.
Yeah. And my last question, sir, last con call you had talked about two derivatives of DEK. So could you please give an update on that?
No, no, no. Derivative of DEK. No, DEK is the final product.
DEK is the final product. We do not...
You had talked about some two derivatives in last con calls.
DEK, we may have talked about...
We may have talked about DEK, which is a new product.
Okay.
But there is no derivative of DEK.
We do not derivatize DEK. That's our customers.
Oh. Okay, thank you. That's from my side.
Oh. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Chaudhary from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir.
Hello, Aman.
Hi. So, there were a couple of reports that there was downturn in the methylamine market in April, or at least the first half of April, with inventory destocking also, you know, continuing along with decline in downstream demand as well. So, can you throw some color on the same?
Sorry? Come again, the downturn in?
Downturn in the methylamine market in April, or at least the first half of April.
I don't think we saw anything unusual in the methylamine market.
Okay, sure. And also, if you could give the exports to domestic sales mix for the quarter and FY24 as well.
As a percentage?
As a percentage.
22%.
It is
23-24 is
22%. For FY24. 80-20, so more or less 80% is our domestic and about 20% is export. And I think this is what Kanchan has been saying. This is where we are.
Sure, thanks. My next question would be regarding an FID that in our last conversation, Kirat sir, you had alluded to that would be requiring a capex of around 80-90 crores. So, any update on that?
Yeah, so this year we spent about 120 crores on capex. Next year we are looking to spend about 60 to 80 crores. A large amount of it is maintenance capex and some debottlenecking in our current products. But as I said, you know, we have two new products in mind, and those decisions have not been finally taken about going ahead. But if they do, then there will these capexes will be additional, and they are in the region of between 75 to 200 crores. But okay, it will be spread over 2 years, you know. Hello.
Sure. And yeah, sure. And in the very beginning of the con call, you had alluded to the market demand for pharma being stable now. Can you throw some color on the agrochemical side?
Agrochemical has been a little bit mixed depending on which kind of market do you look at. Okay. The kind of situation with the agro industry had been in the last 2 years or so, that destocking has been going across the supply chain in the agrochemical, that is still on, although we have some indicators from the market that on a very selective basis, this might be kind of coming to an end, and we could see some upside from here. However, having said that, there is also a large increased Chinese competition, not only for our direct products, but also for our customers' products. So Chinese are also kind of selling at a very, very low prices the agrochemical molecules, not only here in India, but also internationally, where our customers are also exporting. So on the agrochemical side, yes, it's a mixed situation, while on the demand side, we seem to be seeing things getting a little better, but not still there where it should be. But the destocking effect seems to be coming to an end. At the same time, competition from Chinese are also increasing. So we will have to see. I mean, a lot today, I mean, if you look at the entire chemical industry upstream, downstream, it's really largely what is happening in China is affected. The rest of the world is also affected because of that, because of the total chemical production, more than half of it is in China. I mean, 55%, 60% of the chemical industry, global chemical production is in China.
Sure. And last question from my side, you know, even if we get an interim relief with regards to acetonitrile or say the final anti-dumping duty is also levied, would this encourage a private player to enter the market which had announced the 10,000, 15,000 tons per annum capacity around 2 years back?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of people who are already in the market who are, in fact, our competitors are already there in the market, but they are at low production level because at these prices they are probably not profitable. So
Correct. There
is always the chance that if the anti-dumping duty comes in and the prices go up, they will also try and grab some market share. We are just hopeful that because of our larger volumes and our efficiencies and our production cost advantage, we will be able to retain market share and increase it.
Sure. Just small clarification last from my side. Any update on the additional Dahej land that we have been looking for?
No, we haven't got any further progress on that. But given that we have enough land in both in Kurkum and Dahej for the new products which we are planning, there is no urgency. We have applied for it, but we haven't heard back, but we are not in a big hurry. There's no urgency in the matter. But okay, sometime in the next year or two, we will probably take action and move on that situation when these two projects are under implementation.
Sure, thanks. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirav Jamudia from Anvil Research. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, you mentioned about the improvement in the margins of ethylamines, which has already started happening on. So, from when it started improving for us, so was Q4 numbers captured some portion of those margins, or the entire increase in the margins for ethylamines was captured in Q4 number one? And along with it, let's say on a scale of 100, the margins for ethylamines in terms of contribution per kg, how much it would have improved on for us?
So, well, there's no exact point in which the market turned around, but yes, towards the last 3-4 months, we have been seeing that the margins have improved. The ethyl alcohol has stabilized and or in fact actually gone down from the peaks it was, and the selling prices have also improved marginally. I hope this keeps up. I don't know how, we cannot predict how the market will go tomorrow. We can see that we have the alcohol all the way up to half the year, September to October. We can see the visibility on the alcohol price, and which seems to be very positive. As far as the selling prices are concerned, yes, this quarter looks good, but one cannot predict the next quarter and the quarters after that.
No, no, sir. What I was trying to understand from you is the margins on a per kg basis started improving from last 3-4 months. So let's say if it were 100 rupees a kg margin, how much it would have improved on?
Oh, I see. Well, margins would have improved by about 20% on this thing. Very difficult to say. I mean, it's
a rough idea would also help. I'm not asking for any exact numbers, but just to get some qualitative understanding about the improvement in the ethylamine margins, which started happening over last 3-4 months and which is currently sustaining.
Yeah, ethylamine margins is difficult to say, Nirav, that how much it has improved, because it's been up and down, you know. So we'd have to take what is about the bottom, what was the top, was it the temporary bottom. So this is a very difficult question to answer off the cuff.
Got it, sir.
We'll have to look at it and say that this is the range in it which it was earlier and now it is this range.
Yeah.
I'll have to come back to you on this. It's not possible to answer.
No worries. So on the cost side, you mentioned last time that we were in the process of putting up the solar plants. I think one of us getting commissioned in November, December of 23. So any update on the same? And
yeah, the solar plant in Dahej got commissioned in January.
Okay.
And we have already started receiving the electricity from that plant.
Okay.
So totally now in the company, we have about 8 megawatt or so, 8.5 megawatt capacity between Kurkum, Patalanga and Dahej.
Got it. And let's say out of our total requirement of power, how much this would help us to use from this captive?
Okay, so there are three sources for power for us. One is, of course, solar. Then there is a turbine which we use, back pressure turbines for our steam generation, and MSEB or GEB, you know, or Gujarat Electricity Board. So I think on an average about 50% of the electricity which we use is from the grid, from the electricity boards.
Okay.
About 20 to 25% is from the turbines and about 20 to 25% is from the solar panel.
Okay, and the turbine would predominantly be using the coal.
Yeah, it's the steam is from coal. All three sites is from coal.
So any possibility of giving us quantitative numbers in terms of the saving in the power cost which could accrue to us because of commissioning of this 8.5 megawatt of solar power plant?
8.5 megawatt
No. 8.5 is the total amount which we have.
Okay. Okay.
The what got commissioned just now in the last year in January was, I think, 3.5.
Okay. And any numbers which you can help us out in terms of savings which has started accruing to us because of this 20% captive use through solar, which otherwise probably would have been buying through grid or through generation turbines?
Of all. Yeah, about three. My estimate would be this 8 megawatt would be giving you about 3 to 4 crores of savings in lieu of if we were buying from the grid, right?
Okay. Okay. These are the incremental savings.
The grid and we are buying our and generating our own, maybe about 3 to 4 crores savings every year.
Okay. So last year our absolute power cost was like 216 crores combining everything put together.
That would have included fuel.
Yeah, fuel. So what was the similar number for FY24?
We'll have to just look it up, but it is lower because coal prices had dropped.
Come down, yeah. Correct.
It would have been considerably lower because the coal prices had dropped.
So last question would be in terms of the breakup of sales, if you can just help us know the breakup of 1,440 crores of sales, what we have reported between amines, amine derivatives and the specialty chemicals for FY24.
I think the percentage change has not been very significant. It's still, I think, in the region of 40 to 50% is main amines. About 25% is derivatives, and about 20 to 25% is specialty, which is the main one being acetonitrile.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you so much, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. We have the next question from the line of Dhruv from HDFC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Sir, firstly, a clarification. You mentioned that methylamine demand is about 70,000 tons domestically. So this would be just the base or, say, for example, even the downstreams of, say DMF and everything, all-inclusive demand is 70,000?
No, all-inclusive. The DMF is a question mark because DMF, you know, if all the DMF demand in the country was to be all the DMF was to be made within the country of what we are importing, then yes, another 10,000 tons could be added to the methylamines demand. But obviously, it has to compete with imports, so it's not going to happen.
So when we say these demand numbers, these are based on production of based methylamines?
Basically, production of based methylamines.
So what goes into downstream is separate. That is not included in these demand numbers. Probably those downstreams could be imported from outside, but that's not included.
I'm including what, say, RCF, Balaji and us would be producing. My estimate of what we would be producing, they would be producing every year.
Got it.
Or this year, rather. And it goes up by 5 to 7% every year.
So any kind of assessment if all, of course this is hypothetical, but if all the downstreams were also to be made in India, which is probably currently is imported, what would be the base demand for methylamines be?
Sorry, what could be the?
I mean, base demand for methylamines, say for example, currency is about 70,000. Say for example, DMF is currently, probably not sure how much is imported, if that was also to be manufactured in India, and that would use base methylamines. So how much would that?
Another 10,000 tons, so additional.
All inclusive. Okay, got it. Sure, sir. So the second question is.
In fact, both NMP and DMF and all, if you add up, it could be 80,000 tons to maybe 90,000 tons.
Okay.
So there is a potential in India if competition, but obviously competition doesn't go away. You know, it's
true.
Reality. So 80 to 90,000 tons could be a kind of market size, you would say, potential market size.
Got it. So the second question is, on a per kg basis, for methyl and ethylamines, let's take before 2020, what the spreads would be on an average per kg contribution or EBITDA, and what were they in the current year? I'm on a benchmark basis, I'm not asking for an absolute number, but how different would they be?
Between
the current year, FY24,
best year and now, is it?
Yeah, pre-COVID or pre-20, when there was some abnormality post that. So let's take pre-20 and the current year on a per kg basis, methyl and ethyl.
I'd have to come back to you on that because
okay.
I'd have to look at the numbers of pre-COVID per kg. But my gut feel would be that we would be slightly better off than that just now. But I couldn't say for it. Obviously, we are not as well off as the COVID years per kg. But pre-COVID to now, we'll have to just check, you know, which is you're talking about 1920.
Yeah,
Year 19,
let's say
20,
three, 4 years.
Year 23,
Yeah,
20.
average of 3-4 years before 20, just to get a sense. Sure.
A good way, we'll have to look it up, and it's a
sure.
good way to look at a long-term pricing.
And so lastly, you mentioned you know, few players in China are still adding, one player in China is still adding capacity. Is it possible to name that player? Which player is this?
No, I think it's in the you can Google it. I think it's there in the.
Okay. Perfect. No worries, sir. This is very helpful. Thank you so much. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time. We have the next question from the line of Pradeep Rawat from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have one question. What is the market size of acetonitrile and how much is imported?
Market size would be in the region of 30 to 35,000 tons. And I would say about 40%. Of that estimated is imported last year.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my side.
50 to 55% was imported.
Okay, okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kirat Patel, Executive Director, for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everybody, for listening in and spending this hour with us. I hope we have been able to answer most of your queries and look forward to your continued support in the future. As a few closing comments, I think we are looking forward to the next year with some degree of cautious optimism because I think the next year is likely to be better based on what we see happening in the last quarter. And the good part is that our customers are growing. And the opportunity in India is large. So over a longish period, we will be here to stay and the company will grow from strength to strength. Thank you very much for listening in. And thank you, Ambit, and for hosting this conference.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.